morning, everyone. We certainly would like to welcome each and all to the Sunday school here this morning. I noticed on the schedule, this is referred to as a meeting for children. So I'm thankful to see some boys and girls here this morning. And it's nice to see older ones, too, that come out for a meeting like this, because I suppose, in one sense, we're all children here this morning, aren't we? We're all children of men. Well, we'd like to sing some songs, and we want to sing as many as possible in the time allotted. So I wonder if anybody has a song they'd like to give out. Who would like to put up your hand, and we'll try to sing as many songs as we can. Anybody have a song here this morning? Okay, which one would you like? That's Clayton. 44. 24. Sorry. Number 24. Okay, let's sing the first and last verses of the songs so that we can sing a few more. Number 24, the first and last verse.
We know there's a bright and glorious
song? 34. Okay, number 34.
Precious, precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me.
First and last verses, so we can have a few more choices. All right, who else has a song? Anybody else have a song? Okay, I'm going to come down off this platform here. Which one? Number one. Okay, number one. Almost Persuaded.
Almost Persuaded. Christ to
Anybody else have a song? Okay, which one would you like?
44.
44. Number 44.
Into the tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carry, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me.
Anybody else have a song? Anybody else? How about somebody in the back? Hey, I see some boys and girls out there in the back. One here? Jesus loves me. Okay, that's number 40 on our hymn sheet. Back page, number 40.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong.
Tell me, how do I know that Jesus loves me?
Blood on the cross.
Okay, because he shed his blood on the cross. That's very good. I'm going to give out some pencils here this morning. Well, okay, Mr. Kirtley is inviting the boys and girls to come up front, and I think that would be very nice because we have seats here that are just waiting to be occupied.
Well, he's got things to give you, maybe he can give them to you easier when you're up front.
Good point. I don't like to take the time to walk all the way to the back, boys and girls, because our time is limited here this morning. Okay, here's a couple that have responded. Here's another girl. How about some more coming up now? We always appreciate response to invitations. Okay. How about, are there some boys back there that are going to come up front? You want to come up? Okay, well, as we progress during this meeting, if you'd like to come up front, you might improve your chances of getting a prize. Okay. In a little song, we sang, how it is that we know that Jesus loves us, and it's very personal in the song, how is it that I know that Jesus loves me? Now, we had one good answer, because he shed his precious blood on the cross. I think that's beautiful. Okay, what do you think? Yeah, that's right. The Bible tells us, tells me so. Okay, let's have another song. Anybody else have a song? 14. Okay, number 14.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood?
Of God when we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. How white. Clayton? Very good. Whiter than snow. We sang in this song, white as snow, but the fact is we're whiter than snow. Isn't that nice? That's beautiful, isn't it? Okay, anybody else have a song? Anybody else? I think we have time for about one more. Okay. Number 12.
Just as I am without one thee, but that thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bearest me
aside, because we want to talk a little bit this morning from God's precious book, the Bible, and it's wonderful to be able to sing these songs, and all these songs are based on God's precious word, the Bible, and we can learn so many wonderful truths, can't we, by singing these songs. Well, let's first of all look to the Lord for his help in prayer. So let's just bow our head. yesterday morning, we were in a home where up over the sink, there was a verse. And the verse was this: "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me." And you know, that's a verse that I've been thinking about. And that word magnify, though, that might have something for us this morning. You know, boys and girls, we read in God's Word about magnification. And I wonder if somebody can tell me, what does the word mean? Would anybody here this morning have any idea what it means to magnify something? Yeah, what do you think? Yeah, to make it bigger. Very good. You know, boys and girls, what are we wanting to do here this morning? We are wanting to make someone bigger in our eyes. And who is that person? God. Exactly. That's who I was thinking about. Well, I think I should give a pencil out for that. You know, I felt perhaps that these pencils would help us to make God. And you know, who is God? Down at the end. God the Father, that's right. God is... Father is God. What about a name? Can you tell me a name? Jesus. That's right. Jesus is God. And you know, boys and girls, and older ones, this morning, Jesus is the one who is the only Savior for you and for me. And the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. He always was the Son, but He became a man, and on the cross, He suffered on the cross for you and for me. The Son of God loved me, and He gave Himself for me, and that's Jesus. Now we want to speak about Him this morning. We want to magnify, we want to make Him big in our eyes. Now, you know, man has been interested in magnifying many things. And I have here in my pocket something. Anybody know what this is here? What? Yeah, that's right. This is a magnifying glass. You know, this magnifying glass is very interesting. I can take that glass and I hold this right up over my hand here, and I can see things with this magnifying glass that I couldn't see without, because I see these little pores and little hairs coming out of the pores, and it's very interesting, eh? And you know, there's, beyond this, microscopes, eh? And when men look through microscopes, and if they would look at a piece of your skin, they would see more than just pores, hairs. They would see perhaps little cells, building blocks in the skin. And isn't that marvelous what God has done for us, giving us skin to protect our bodies? And you know, these microscopes only show us more of God's handiwork. But then, you know, you can go in the other direction, and you look out into space, and man sees a little speck of light out there, and he wonders, what's this speck of light out there in space? And so what does he use to look at that speck of light and to make it big? Anybody know what he might use? He doesn't use a magnifying glass or a microscope. What? What do you think? What does he look through in order to see what's out there? Yeah, that's right, a telescope. This summer we had the privilege of holding some meetings, gospel outreach there in upstate New York. And, you know, at the time of those meetings, I picked up a calendar in a community, and this calendar indicated what was happening in a community at the time that we were holding the meetings for the boys and girls, eh? And I looked in here on this particular day, I looked and it said here, on August the 13th, check out the sun at 10 o'clock in the morning. Check out the sun. S-U-N. And then it said, learn how to safely view the sun with amateur astronomer Jack Cogan. Well, you know, this man, Jack Cogan, he was the very person that we were renting a campsite from. And I found it interesting that he was holding these classes in order to look at the SUN while we were holding classes to look at the SON. That's why we were having the Bible hour there in Saranac Lake, in order that we might focus on not the S-U-N, but the one who made it, the S-O-N, the Son of God. And we had the privilege of telling the boys and girls about Jesus. And so, you know, after Mr. Cogan, he showed us some pictures that he had taken out there in space, and it was marvelous to see what these stars looked like through a telescope. There was all so many colors out there, and it looked like little explosions out there of colors, and it was just marvelous. But the sad thing is, Mr. Cogan, he said, I haven't seen heaven. No. In fact, he actually thought heaven was a state of mind. You know, it was something that you just thought in your mind. But you know, boys and girls, heaven is a real place. Just a real place as St. Louis is here in the state of Missouri. And so is hell. Hell is a real place too. Well, this morning we want to magnify God. We want to magnify the Lord. Does anybody know who it was that said those words? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Would anybody know who it was that said those words? David. Very good. David was one whose desire it was to make much of the Lord. And in fact, in one place he said, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. He wanted the Lord to fill his vision because the Lord was so important to him. Is the Lord important to you, boys and girls? Now, we read about those who would not magnify the Lord. In fact, they magnified themselves. One individual who comes to mind is Pharaoh. Do you remember Pharaoh and how he held God's people in bondage back there? In the book of Exodus, we read about Pharaoh and how that he was such a cruel boss, terrible taskmaster. And I think it was mentioned in these meetings that he took the straw away from the people in order to make it harder for them to build the bricks. And they still had to make just as many bricks without the straw because he was so cruel. And you know, when Moses brings before Pharaoh the thought of letting God's people go. You know what Pharaoh said? He said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let the people of Israel go? I know not the Lord." And he had no desire to know the Lord because he thought he was so important. He didn't need anybody else. He didn't need the Lord. He said, "I wouldn't obey him. I just do what I please. I don't want to listen to anyone else." And so he thought himself to be so important. You know, and in his own eyes, it was I. But you know what the end of that poor man was? We read how that God miraculously brought his people through the Red Sea. And then what happened to Pharaoh and his armies at the Red Sea? Who can tell me? No. They drowned, that's right. And in the Psalms, we read about how that Pharaoh and his hosts, they were overthrown. And there Pharaoh's body was, I suppose, washed up on the banks of the Red Sea. That was the end of a man who magnified himself, who made himself big in his own eyes, and makes the Lord so very little. But, you know, there are many, many cases in the Old Testament of those who magnified themselves. Sennacherib was another. We heard about him yesterday. Sennacherib sent his armies up against Judah, Jerusalem, God's people. Hezekiah goes to the Lord about the situation. But you know, Sennacherib, he exalted himself against the Lord. And he says, "You know, I am so powerful. I've been able to overcome these other nations. Their gods haven't been able to deliver them. And so, I don't believe your God will be able to deliver you." But that was a big mistake that he made. A big mistake. We heard how that God sent an angel, and one night, that angel killed, destroyed, I believe it was 185,000 troops, the Assyrians. There they all lay dead, just like Pharaoh and his hosts. There's the host of Sennacherib, dead. What happens to Sennacherib? He's murdered by his two sons later on. There was a man who magnified himself instead of magnifying the Lord. And what about Nebuchadnezzar? He was another one. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, he looked out on this big city of Babylon, and he says, "You know, this is Babylon, this great city that I have built for mine own honor." And he was so proud about what he had. But you know, God had something to say to Nebuchadnezzar. Let me just turn over here to Daniel, because we want to make sure that we do look into God's word during the course of this little meeting here. What happens to Nebuchadnezzar? In Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Verse 30, "The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of majesty? But while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O king Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." And so Nebuchadnezzar, he ends up eating grass just like the oxen. And it says his body was wet with the dew of heaven, and his hair it grew out all over like eagle's feathers. What a sight he must have been, eh? Just looked like a... I don't know, what he looked like? He was just covered with eagle's feathers. And then he had these nails, apparently his fingernails, and toenails perhaps too. They just grew and grew, and they became like bird's claws. You know, here's a man here that is so proud of his kingdom that he thought he had made, and now he's reduced to a beast of the field, a creature like this. But you know, God wasn't done with Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar, it tells us, he, at the end of the days, lifted up his eyes unto heaven, and so on. And he blessed the Most High. Nebuchadnezzar came to realize that it was the Lord alone who ruled in the kingdoms of men. And in the last verse, what does he say? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Well, we see here that to magnify oneself results in very, very sad consequences. Over in the New Testament, we read about a man, Herod, and he made a speech, and the people were so awed by the speech that they began to worship this man, Herod, and they thought he was a god. And Herod was here accepting this worship, but what happens to Herod? It tells us he's eaten with worms. Yeah, he thought to magnify himself. What was the end? Destruction. Well, these aren't very happy stories, are they, boys and girls? But we want to now turn over to the New Testament, and we're going to find here that we have those who did indeed magnify the Lord. Now, there were others in the Old Testament that magnified the Lord. Moses, he says, the Lord, he's triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider, he's thrown into the sea. David magnified the Lord. And you know, David said, let all those who love God's salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Yeah, David was one who realized that he made mistakes and he had failed. And he was willing to acknowledge his sin and to acknowledge that it wasn't really in him to walk according to God's word. He needed the Lord. And he put his trust and confidence in the Lord and recognized, I believe, that salvation is of the Lord. Now, there was another man in the Old Testament, and this man, I wonder if you can tell me who it is that said those very words, salvation is of the Lord. Anybody know who said that? And in this way, he magnified the Lord. He made the Lord big, you might say, and himself small. Who was it that said that? At first he went his own way, and he thought that he knew better than God, but he was reduced to... I'll give you a big hint. He was swallowed by a great fish. Okay, I see quite a few hands go up now. All right. What do you think? Jonah. That's right. And you know, down there in the belly of that great fish, Jonah felt so helpless. That was the most miserable place you imagine could think of. Down there in this slimy, cold belly of a fish. What could he do now? The only thing he could do was pray. And he did pray. And you know, those beautiful words came forth. Salvation is of the Lord. And then the fish vomited him out right onto the dry land. And I just love those words. Why don't you hold up a hand and we'll try to say those words on the fingers of one hand. You ever did that? We'll count the thumb as a finger, okay? All right. Salvation is of the Lord. See? Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah magnified the Lord. Well, when we come over to the New Testament and I'll just turn first of all to Luke. I know our time is hastening by, but you know, the Lord Jesus came into this world, born of a virgin. And Mary says in Luke chapter 1, my soul, verse 46, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And then she continues to describe how great this one is, the Lord. And then we come to the next chapter in Luke, and we find the angel of the Lord saying, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angel magnifies the Lord, and then we find a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angels magnifying the Lord. And later on in the chapter, here's a man by name of Simeon. He's waiting for salvation in Israel. And he takes up the little Jesus. Yeah, the little baby in his arms. And what does he say? Now lettest thou, verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel. And so as we read through the Gospels, we find that there were those who made much of Christ. That little baby grew up as a boy. He was the same age as you boys here, same age as you girls. And he grew up, he became a man, and there were those that appreciated the person of the Lord Jesus. You know, John the Baptist, he was one who said these words, he must increase and I must decrease. And you know, in John chapter 1, we find that John the Baptist, he says over and over, I think three times, he is preferred before me. What does it mean to be preferred? Does anybody know what it means to be preferred? Some of you went to the Continental Breakfast this morning, and there was quite a few different pastries there. And you might say, well, I prefer this donut instead of this bagel or whatever. What does that mean? Yeah. What does it mean, you know, to be preferred? Yeah. To like. Yeah, that's right. To like something better. And, you know, I think what John was saying was that the Lord Jesus, he was the best. Yeah, he's far better than I am. In fact, John says, you know, he's everything. He must increase and I must decrease. And so, you know, John, he put, could we say, the magnifying glass on Jesus. And he sought to make Jesus appear wonderful, great in the eyes of the people. John the Baptist, well, you know, we could refer to so many more who magnified the Lord, but our time is up. Boys and girls, I ask you this morning, who is it that you want to magnify? You want to magnify yourself or magnify the Lord? To magnify the Lord is to mean to put one's trust in Him and to accept Him as Savior and to, first of all, admit, yeah, I'm a sinner. You won't go to the doctor unless you feel you're sick. And I don't think anybody goes to the Savior unless they feel they're a sinner. They need to be saved. And you know, when we acknowledge we're sinners, we become very, very small. We have to. You can't take pride in sin. Really not. And you make much of the Lord Jesus. Have you done that? Have you come to Jesus? Have you put your trust in Him? We heard already in these meetings how important it is to be saved now. Now, the Lord didn't come last night. He didn't come early this morning, and He hasn't come yet, but He could come before the start of the next meeting. You know, this is serious. And if Jesus were to come, and you were still sitting here in your seat, boys and girls, after His coming, what would you do? You know, this used to strike terror into my soul. I can remember sitting in a seat like you years ago. I didn't have the assurance of salvation, and the thought of the Lord's coming, it struck terror in my soul. But now, I look forward to His coming. I know the Lord Jesus has washed my sins away. You know, it's so easy to be saved because Jesus took the work out of it. On the cross, He suffered on the cross, and He was punished for my sins and yours if you trust Him. And His precious blood shed there can wash all your sins away so that one spot remains. Yeah, Jesus wants to save you. He wants you to come to Him, to come now. Acquaint now thyself with Him. And He wants to be magnified in your eyes and mine. And you know, boys and girls, I brought something else here. This is something, too, that magnifies, of course. And, you know, I can look through this here. And somebody back there, maybe I can't see too well like this, but if I look through here, I see Mr. Sell back there. Not a problem. But how do we see Jesus? You know, we can't look up there like this and see Jesus, can we? No. I like to think, in order to look up and see Jesus, in one sense, we have to look down. What do I mean by that? We have to look down into this book. Because this book is like the magnifying glass on Jesus. This book makes everything of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that He has accomplished for God's glory. And so as we look down into this book and we read this book, it makes nothing of ourselves and everything of Christ. Over in Europe, I understand there's I think it's a cathedral. You walk into this cathedral and you look down into a mirror, and there in that mirror you see this beautiful painting with all its beautiful colors and all. Where's the painting? Well, it's actually up on the ceiling. But you can see what's on the ceiling by looking down at this mirror. And you know, I believe you and I, we can see what's up there by looking into this book. And that's why this book is so important. This is the Word of God. And we know we can't be saved apart from accepting God at His Word. And we hope that you'll do that, boys and girls. And we hope you'll do it now if you're not already the Lord's. Well, perhaps we'll just close with prayer.